The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation on this very blue Monday. Here are the stories that really worry me. New York Times says Obama to propose shrinking the military to pre-World War II level. I don't think you understand what he's doing, but I do. The Army has about 540,000 troops to date. Obama wants to cut the military in size to its smallest size since before World War II and get rid of a class of Air Force attack jets, the Air Force A-10 attack aircraft. That is a phenomenal airplane. Ask anybody what it's used for. It's used to annihilate ground troops on the other side. There's something more than budget cutting involved. When you reduce the military to this level, at a time when you are antagonizing Russia, China is on the move building its military, Iran is on the move building its nukes, Al-Qaeda is not on the run but running at us, does it make sense to cut the military, I said to myself. And so I'm going to ask you, the American people, how do you feel about Obama shrinking the military to pre-World War II levels? Is it a good idea? Why is he doing this now? What is your worst fear about this regime and what he really has in mind? That's one topic. There are other topics. I keep reading about the Ukrainian president living in the opulent palace, covered by left and right. And everyone says, oh, that's horrible. And the countryman, the Ukrainian countryman, toured his $75 million home, just was shocked. Of course, in Beverly Hills, a $75 million home amongst liberals is kind of the norm. But nevertheless, what about if we toured Michelle Obama's closets? What if we were allowed into the White House and saw what Obama and Mrs. Obama are doing with regard to the opulence that they enjoy? I mean, I'm reading that. Each of the mansion's cedar doors cost $65,000. Three sets of wooden paneling for staircases cost $200,000, and so forth and so on. And then we see that it's a large estate built on a monastery. And then we see that it's got imported marble floors, typical of any Nassau County bourgeois. Gold fixtures, typical of any Nassau County yenta. Exotic wood, typical of any apartment on the Upper East Side. Surrounded by a 35-mile-long, 15-foot-high fence. Well, I don't think it's that excessive, by the way, for president of a gangster nation like like this one. I mean, what do you want him to do, live in a cottage somewhere? That's number one. Now, calling him a kleptocrat, but what if we were allowed to visit the White House and we were allowed to find out that Michelle Obama has over 70 personal assistants and we were allowed to walk inside Air Force One and Air Force Two, which have been used more for vacations than for official business? And then I'm going to ask myself, when is the American Spring going to happen? I can't ask that question. But every time I hear that 50% of the country hated him in the Ukraine and 50% of the country loved him, and yet the world is saying to Putin, oh, keep your hands off. There should be a totally independent Ukraine. Well, that's never going to happen. He's not letting go of the little peninsula with all of his naval bases. I mean, you naive, moronic university types. Susan Rice, an academic loser like her, the woman of Benghazi fame, a psychopathic liar who should have been in jail for what she did with Benghazi. Instead of going on Meet the Press, she should have said Meet the Bars, the prison bars. Susan Rice has the nerve to lecture Vladimir Putin, ex-head of the KGB, a judo expert, and tell him no military intervention. Now, don't protect your assets. Don't protect your submarines. Don't protect your missiles. Don't protect your missile cruisers. Don't protect your special forces. You listen to me. I'm a smart woman. I'm Susan Rice. I'm Susan Rice, and you should be shaking in your boots, Susan. I mean, Vladimir, because I'm Susan Rice. And me and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, we're going to tell you, you just don't dare send the military in to protect your assets over there. Now, first of all, irrespective of half the nation wanting to align themselves with Europe, which is understandable considering the history of the Soviets in the Ukraine, there's another half that is completely loyal to Russia. They speak Russian, and they don't want anything to do with the other half. But this country is divided right down the middle. Over 50% of this country hates Obama. They hate the imperiousness of this regime as much as the people hated the dictator of the Ukraine. 50% of the people in this country would like to see this country split in half and let him take the bums and the grifters with him. Let him cut the country in half and take the bums, the grifters, the contractors, take them all, and you run them. And let us have America back, because we're sick and tired of being ruled by a man like this who has absolutely no respect for the nation's traditions or the nation itself, is what half the people in the country would like to say. So that, I mean, these are some of the thoughts. I mean, I'm reaching a point of boiling over. It's like a pot boiling over. And then I wake up, he wants to shrink the military now to a level not seen since World War II. He wants to eliminate the A-10 fighter jet, as you well know. He wants to transfer the National Guard's Apache attack helicopters to active duty armor. And then they want the Army to transfer its Black Hawks to the National Guard. Now, anyone in the military would tell you that the Black Hawk is definitely worrisome in the hands of the National Guard. Why would you give the National Guard the Black Hawk helicopter? Why? Why would you get rid of the A-10 attack aircraft at a time when China is on the move? Why would you eliminate production of tanks at a time when China is on the move? Why would you cut your troops to a level not seen since World War II? Now, lucky for you, I'm a student of history, and I know that just prior to World War II, the socialist administration that was in power cut our U.S. Navy down to levels of almost the level of a scrap fleet. They almost cut our Navy to the bone as Japan was rearming. I mean, it's a famous story in New York City that when New York took down the 3rd Avenue L, the elevated train, maybe it was the 6th Avenue L at the time, the elevated line, they sold all of the scrap metal to Japan. Japan melted the metal down and turned it into fighter jets, tanks, bayonets, bullets, bombs, and shells to kill our men. They bought our steel and they turned it into weaponry. That was, at the same time, the socialists in America said there's never going to be another war. We're tired of war. We don't want war. And because we have our heads in the sand, our enemies will not hurt us. Like little children who put their heads under a cover at night because they're afraid of the boogeyman, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse shake inside their beds at night. They hide under the covers and they say, we don't need a military. Right, girls? Right, Susan. We don't need a military. We don't need any nukes. We don't need them at all because if we don't have them, they won't hurt us. Is that the kind of leadership that you've come to expect in this once proud and great nation, which is broken and crawling on its knees under this... Now, my horoscope warned me to not go over the edge today. Pardon me if I've not gone over the edge today, because I don't intend to go over the edge today. I intend to take your calls on the state of affairs in the country right now. There is something so wrong with what this stealth administration is doing that I think only you can express yourselves. I'll let you take the heat. He wants to cut the military to a pre-World War II level. Now, that would be well and good if we heard that Russia was cutting its military, China was scrapping its plans to build aircraft carriers, scrapping its plans to defeat us in space, and Al-Qaeda really had decided to put down their bombs and decide to flip camel burgers all over the Middle East because they came to see the wisdom of peace on earth, goodwill to man. But that's not what's happened. Al-Qaeda's never been stronger. Okay, Al-Qaeda's never been stronger. China's on the move both in space and on the seas. You're telling me that Russia is still an ally of ours? An ally that we can certainly expect to listen to the four academic ladies who have told Putin not to take care of his own interests in the Caspian region? You think so, huh? That the Black Sea is our sphere of influence, not a sphere of influence of Russia going back centuries? That we have the right to tell him what to do with his warm water fleet in the Black Sea? Are you people that insane that you believe what the academics tell you? Are you that stupid that you believe a word that these fools tell you? Are you that dumb that you'll put up with this forever? We have 1,000 days left of this regime, this dangerous regime. On Friday, I told you there are 1,000 days left, and he could launch us into 100 years of darkness. He could drag us or drive us into 100 years of darkness. One man can destroy a nation. One man can save a nation. One man can destroy a nation. One man can save a nation. And I can give you numerous examples of both. But I can't do it all at the beginning of the program on Monday. Now, that's only one story that attracted my attention. And already the lines are blown out. Already the lines are blown out on the Savage Nation. You can't get on. I probably have the largest call volume in the country. Maybe not the largest audience. I'm still building a new show. But the fact of the matter is I have the largest call volume probably in the business. And I have many other stories, including asylum fraud in Chinatown, New York, an industry of lies. That's right. The number one fraudsters in the immigration scam business of asylum are Chinese, not Mexicans. It came out over the weekend in the New York Times. And the feds busted Chinese applying for asylum who faked being Christians. They busted the rotten, stinking, filthy lawyers who were running them through the system. Chinese immigrants, we learned, are the biggest source of requests for asylum in the United States. Did you hear that? Now, how many of these people asking for asylum from China are People's Liberation Army operatives coming here to pretend to be busboys and waiters? How many of them? Would you know? Would you have an answer to that one? Here's another story. Well, they're on and on. I have many other stories. But we'll go to the main story, which is how do you feel about Obama shrinking the military to pre-World War II levels? And the phone number is 855-400-7282. I have one open line. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you the real America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Accordingly, our recommendations favor a smaller and more capable force, putting a premium on rapidly deployable, self-sustaining platforms that can defeat more technologically advanced adversaries. We also preserve all three legs of the nuclear triad. And we'll make important investments to preserve a safe, secure, reliable, and effective nuclear force.
That would be a grave mistake. It's not in the interest of Ukraine or of Russia or of Europe or the United States to see the country split. It's in nobody's interest to see violence return and the situation escalate.
So Vladimir Putin, I understand, had a very, very bad night after hearing the academic lecturer, Susan Rice, tell him not to protect his assets in the Black Sea. That according to her and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, after partying all night, they came and gave their missive. Because, you know, it's like a university. They blow their whistle and the police arrive. And everything is put back where it belongs. Yanukovych remains at large. And they're saying freedom-minded Ukrainians, still stunned at the greed of their ousted president, are calling for his home to be turned into a hospital, sanitarium, or even a museum of corruption. I would say that after the Obamas leave, it's going to need to be fumigated, and I think the White House should be turned into a museum of greed and power madness. And maybe the White House should be moved after this administration, because this is something I've never seen in my lifetime. He gets away with anything he wants, anything. Travel? Sure. No problem. Send the dog on an Osprey helicopter. No one says a word. A dog! Your president sent his dog, Bo, on vacation on an Osprey helicopter. He didn't even fly him on an Air Force jet. He put him on his own helicopter. That's not corruption and greed. But you see, in the Ukraine, they had an opposition movement. They have a free press, something we lack in America. We lack it completely. Well, anyway, the big issue is Hegel, who, by the way, will go down in history as a quisling. If we survive this regime, and it's touch and go as to whether we can survive another 1,000 days of this regime, if we survive this regime, Hegel will be remembered as a quisling who, after Pancetta first cut the military to the bone, and then, when he became too hot to handle, they sent him back to the pasture in Monterey to ruin a university and to grow his grapes. He was the one who started the decimation of the military. Leon Panetta, who had no experience whatsoever with military affairs. He had one job, which was to decimate the military. Now they bring in Hegel the Bagel. No experience whatsoever to be a defense secretary. None whatsoever. With questionable loyalties to people who have studied this. Now telling us they want to cut the military to levels below World War II. Now the only good news is they have to get congressional approval, which is very unlikely, especially in an election year, which is what this is. But you have to ask yourself a big question. If they know they can't get this through Congress, then why would they even propose it in February of 2014? What are they trying to do? Who are they signaling to that they want to cut the military after cutting our nuclear capacities? And remember what Obama did when he first took office. He eliminated NASA. He turned our NASA into rubble, and then he turned our astronauts into passengers on a Russian spacecraft. They have to buy seats on a Russian spacecraft to get to the space station. But you didn't know anything about that because he has the degenerates with jewels in their teeth in the White House entertaining you, so you figure that's good enough. Because he has entertainers and he has Harvey Weinstein. He has Harvey Weinstein there, so you're dazzled by him.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO. Of base realignment closure in 2017. I am mindful that Congress has not agreed to BRAC requests in the last 2 years. But if Congress continues to block these requests, even as they slash the overall budget, we will have to consider every tool at our disposal to further reduce infrastructure.
So that's Hegel the Bagel, the quisling of our time, talking about cutting the military force to levels below that of World War II, number one, and closing bases. Now, what you don't know about base closures can fill volumes. But here in San Francisco, there was a great Army base called the Presidio Base. You say, well, all right, we don't need a base. What have they done with the Presidio? Let's see. George Lucas built a monument to himself on some of the acreage, and he wanted more of the acreage for another monument for his movie memorabilia. Mm-hmm. Now, how much did friends of our senators and congresswomen make on contracts associated with transfer of land from the Presidio Trust to private hands and the construction of hotels and such on the Presidio? You have any ideas? Anyone investigated that? Is there one investigative reporter who's done that? The answer is no. 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 They're busy investigating really important things such as how many people still don't kowtow to the communist regime. I want to go back to the Ukraine story for 1 minute before I take this issue of cutting the military. You're reading even on Fox News about the lavish villa that Yanukovych had in Ukraine, and I don't doubt that it's lavish. It's a $75 million mansion, but all of the details are coming. All of the features of this estate are coming from a group called OpenDemocracy.net, which is funded by George Soros. You don't know that. So now they're telling you what the Lebanese cedar doors cost, the chandeliers cost $100,000 a piece, and it's coming from George Soros. Now, this is laughable, because I can guarantee you George Soros has a doghouse that costs $75 million somewhere. He wouldn't even live in a house as cheap as this. This is a plebeian mansion in Beverly Hills. $75 million is not the top of the heap. No, it's not the top of the heap. And George Soros is putting this out about Yanukovych. Mr. George Soros, the man who loves America so much. Now let's go back to the military story. On KKOH in Reno, we have Tyler, who's up on this subject. Tyler, fire away. You're the first up today on this Monday.
Well, most citizens don't understand that the U.S. Navy right now has more flag officers, more admirals, than we have warships. What's even worse is that the Army and the Air Force are far worse, far more top-heavy. So making cuts to our military would make sense, but I don't believe that Obubu is going to do it that way.
You mean cutting some of the paper admirals and the paper generals is what you're saying, not cutting the standing troops. Is that what you're arguing?
Exactly.
In other words, don't cut the number of troops to save money. Cut out the ushers wearing the big suits. The ushers have never fired a shot outside of basic training. You know, the military has become very much like a civil service job, period. Benefits, 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 benefits. Health care, retirement, help for dental plans for the children. It's like a giant post office with a gun.
Well, along with the senior admirals and the ones that don't really do anything beyond what a captain would do, an 06 would have done 20 years ago, we have a very bloated senior enlisted structure. And this is true on all services. It's E8s and E9s. These are equivalent in the Navy to what we would call a master chief.
Right, but your argument is simple, and I want to translate it for the audience because I got it and you're right. You want to cut costs in the military, get rid of the top-heavy admirals and generals who do nothing. Just fire them. Fire them. We don't need them, but don't cut back on the troops that we may need. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, and I want the citizens to understand that what Obama's going to do is continue to play political games with our military. He's going to create more political officers. He's going to create more minority officers, more officers dedicated to transsexual behavior, and all the little political games that the Obubu administration has been doing so far.
Tyler, you're 1,000% correct. During the Soviet era, there were KGB officers aboard every ship. You probably know that. They were called political officers. And their job, for example, on a submarine, was not to help run the submarine. It was to snoop on these sailors and make sure that they were politically in alignment with the communist philosophy and government. And any sailor who did not go along with the prevailing Marxism or the doctrine of the day was noted by the political officer and basically called off the ship. That's exactly what we have now with affirmative action, what we have now with these so-called investigations of sexual harassment in every element of our military. You see, they redefined what sexual assault is. You know that. If an Air Force officer says to a woman on base, honey, you're beautiful, you want to go out on a date, she could report him for rape. Do you know that? Are you aware what they have done to reality, these people? But they've just gotten started, Tyler. They have 1,000 days left to leave us literally at the mercy of our enemies. What does Obama really want to do? If this regime wants to cut the army to 440,000 troops, which is smaller than it was before World War II, and then get rid of a class of Air Force attack jets called the A-10, the Warhawk, which is used, by the way, to attack troops on the ground. I think you have to understand what I'm saying to you. Why would the women who are running this country, the four horse women of the apocalypse, all of whom are anti-Americans down to their DNA? Their DNA is anti-American, anti-military. And that DNA is saying get rid of, don't build any more tanks, get rid of the Air Force A-10 attack aircraft. Why? And get rid of the famed U-2 spy plane, by the way. Why do they want to get rid of the U-2 spy plane? They're basically telling us to eliminate our ability to fight foreign troops on the ground. Now, at the same time, he wants to cut the nukes, which he's done by decapitating the entire nuclear command structure. By the way, who's running our nuclear command structure now? Obama has decimated the entire nuclear command structure. He's taken off the top of the whole heap. Who's running it now? Who's in those silos? Who's in charge of them? We don't know. Why did he decapitate our nuclear command structure? This is very dangerous material. Something is very wrong. I could go crazy here with paranoia, which I'm not going to do. I'm not going to let my fears run wild. But it's quite easy to do at a time like this when there are so many questions that are in the air that are not being answered. Now, the A-10 Warthog is known as the tank killer. Why would Obama, at the same time last week he said they're not building any more tanks, they've cut the assembly line of tanks, now he wants to get rid of the A-10 Warthog, our number one tank killer? It can blow up any enemy tank, chop them to pieces, and turn them into shards of metal. What is he planning? Who is he weakening us for? Who's... You got to answer the question. Where's a congressman asking this question? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Dianne Feinstein, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. That's her job, isn't it? In addition to looking into how many shopping carts are in how many airports, what else does she do for your national security? 50% of this country would like to see the country cut in half, and they like to leave the administration with the other half. The grifters and the welfare recipients, the illegal aliens, they like him to run that country. They don't want him to run this country anymore, by the way. But we have 1,000 more days. Anthony, on KSFO in San Francisco, on this military cut business, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I currently work for the federal government. I want to get to the point about the cutting of the military. As the federal law enforcement agency is growing in mass, I think there's something far more sinister happening here than just wanting to have a weak military.
Yes, that's right. He has militarized local police departments. He's militarized the DHS. It's only one step away until he issues arms to the TSA. And then he has his private national security force, just as well funded, just as powerful as the U.S. military, if not more so. And then he has his Praetorian Guard. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Exactly, sir. And that's exactly what's happening. I'm a former military man myself. I did Tier 1 missions, just so you kind of have a little background of what I used to do in the Army. So I've seen it. And they're getting rid of all these leaders in the military and putting politicians in there because a strong military is the only thing standing in the way from the people and a dictatorship. And that's why this is happening. And that's why he's putting the federal agents, law enforcement agencies, and he's growing them in mass because the people that they're hiring will do whatever they're told because they're ignorant. They're sheep. And they just...
That's correct. They're moronic civil servants.
Exactly.
They are they're like postmen with a machine gun.
Yes, sir, exactly. Now, there's a lot of people like me with the mindset that I have that are in the federal agency, but there's not enough of us to stop what's coming down the pipe. And the American people...
So, Anthony, you have the same, actually, you have the same dire nightmare that I'm having about what he's doing, don't you?
You're absolutely right, sir. I dream about it all the time. I have this reoccurring dream, but, I mean, it would be a real in-depth conversation right now if I actually got into it, but just like you, sir, I have this sick feeling in my stomach, and I don't think the American people realize what's coming down on them.
Well, I think we have to leave that hanging in the air, Anthony, because you're not alone, I'm not alone, anyone with military experience, everyone I've met has actually gone there and fought for the country has the same exact view you do. Now, how is that possible? Can they all be deranged?
No, not at all, sir. The thing is when I joined the service, when I was a young pup, I bled red, white, and blue, and I still do. I still believe in America, but that's not the country I live in. I live in a police state. And that's the good thing about the war, if I can say there's something good about war, is it does open your eyes to the world. And then I came back home, and I seen the world, the country I live in, and what's happening. And it's just, it makes me sad inside, sir.
Here's the thing to remember, Anthony, is that you are not alone. There are probably 30 million Americans who know exactly what's going on, see exactly what's going on, and are in line with your thinking. You're not wrong, you're not crazy, you're not paranoid. There are 30 million Americans who see what's going on. That would be the number. And let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. Okay? Now let's see what's on the front pages. Let's see, we'll avoid that. Let's see. High-powered LI developer shot outside posh castle home. Masahiro Tanaka puts full arsenal on display. Raquel Welch, still a red carpet knockout. A loudmouth actor in New York says he's leaving New York because although he's a loudmouth actor in New York and got fired by MSNBC for homophobic slurs, he didn't use homophobic slurs. Now he wants to move to L.A., where he assumes he can use homophobic slurs and get away with it. That's on the front page of the New York Post. There was another story that caught my attention that I don't want to drop so fast. And it was actually very well written by the New York Times. And it's asylum fraud in Chinatown, an industry of lies. Chinese immigrants are the biggest source of requests for asylum in the United States. Let me repeat it. So you get your mind off Mexico and you start thinking about China. Chinese immigrants are the biggest source of requests for asylum in the United States. Well, shockingly, and I don't know how this happened under Obama, I have no idea how. Maybe this was an investigation that started before Obama and it's running on its own, which is a good thing. They busted a ring bringing in Chinese under false asylum claims. In the fiscal 2012, 56,000 asylum applications were filed in asylum offices throughout the United States. In the same year, about 30,000 of them were granted asylum, the most since 2002. But false asylum claims are at an epidemic level. Epidemic level. They claim that they're Christians when they're not. They have priests and churches working with them to make believe that they're Christians. They have all sorts of tricks now. If you're from Russia, I see the break coming. If you're from Russia, you know what you have to say now? You're afraid of homophobia in Russia, and you'll be given asylum. So if you were Putin, how many people would you send over here to claim that they're homosexuals and they need asylum in America? Would you send a few over, you think? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, well, we got an administration that is relentless in its pursuit of a dictatorship in any form it possibly can get away with. Last week, Friday, they were stopped in their tracks by targeting radio shows and targeting newsrooms by putting Obama's thought police into newsrooms, and they were stopped for the moment. But that's not good enough for me. I want that FCC commissioner who authorized this to be put in prison. Do you realize that what she was trying to do, and she's the daughter, by the way, of an oppressed minority, Elijah Cummings, you know, Elijah Cummings put his daughter onto the FCC, and the first thing she did was try to get police into our newsrooms and our radio rooms. Now, she was stopped because of the outcry, but here's the question. Just stopping the left is enough? Not punishing them for their misbehavior and their attacks on our constitutional freedoms should not be part and parcel of stopping them when they get caught with their skirts dirty, their filthy skirts? You know what I'm talking about. You get the picture? The skirt's dirty. It's not enough for me that she was stopped. It's not enough for me. Where's the punishment for this behavior? Now, if you had read that in the Ukraine, Yanukovych, the evil Yanukovych, had put police inside the newsrooms, my God, you'd be hearing about this from morning till noon, till evening, rather. Oh, evil Ukrainian minister who fled to Russia had put police inside the newsrooms and controlled the radio stations and told radio hosts what to say and what they couldn't say. They had a report to him what they were going to do. You would have said, that's terrible. That's a dictatorship. If Yanukovych had asked each station to report, what is the philosophy of the station? Who is your target audience? And on-air staff, how much news does your station air every day? Who decides which story? If you had read that Yanukovych had done this, you'd say, boy, what a bad guy, what a dictator. But that's what she did. Those are her questions. Why is she not forced into exile? Where are the consequences for this behavior in this country? Where? Who speaks for you? Who represents you? Who represents you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday.
Oh, well, welcome back to the Savage Nation Hour number two. Two topics have America talking. One is Obama's wishes to slash the military in size to that before levels before World War II. Let me repeat that, in case you missed it. Your leader, at a time when China's on the move building aircraft carriers, building spy satellites to defeat us with laser weaponry in space, with Russia getting ready to take what they consider to be part of their sphere of influence back, with Al-Qaeda more empowered than in a long time, he wants to scrap a class of Air Force attack jets, which can knock out enemy tanks. But worse than that, he wants to drop the standing army to 440,000 troops over the next several years. So the question is, why? Now, on the face of it, they say, well, we can't afford it. I agree with them. We can't afford admirals who do nothing and generals who do nothing but sit and scheme how to get contracts and retirement income when they retire after steering contracts for projects we don't need. Military contractors, no doubt, are very unhappy with this. Beltway insiders are very unhappy with this. Well, I'm very unhappy with it, and I'm not a military contractor, and I'm not a Beltway insider. A pox upon all the houses. But I'm not impressed with the fact that they're doing this strictly to reduce costs. Do you know that personnel costs reflect 50% of the Pentagon budget? Listen to what I just said to you. Personnel costs reflect 50% of the Pentagon budget. It's become a giant civil service job, like the post office with guns. When you say military, are you supposed to salute everyone who walks around in a uniform? You don't know the difference between the warrior class and the contractor class and those who enlisted just for the uniform and the benefits? You know, you better be aware of the fact that not everybody who wears a uniform is a hero. Some are, but when 50% of the Pentagon budget is for personnel costs that cannot be cut or exempted, you understand that there's a rationale for cutting something somewhere, right? But it's not altruistic, in my opinion. In other words, the motives are not altruistic. It's not just to cut costs. It's to cut the military so that it becomes almost useless. That's what he wants. Never forget who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a fanatic leftist whose deepest dream is to reduce the military so it's no longer a threat to him and his regime, and then replace it with a Praetorian Guard along the lines of a Praetorian Guard. I'll leave it at that so that you don't get shocked if I go to the next step. It's only Monday yet, and I'm not in the best of shape today. I have an issue right now I have to deal with that I'm struggling with. But let me just say it as far as I want to go. He wants to create a Praetorian Guard that may be better funded and better weaponized, more weaponized than our military itself. That's what some people fear, and they're not all crazy. Admittedly, they don't work for CNN. Admittedly, those who fear that don't write for the New York Times. Admittedly, those who fear that have real-life experience, and they see such evil emanating from this house of cards, they don't know which way to turn. Then we have the issue of putting police into the newsrooms. If you think that's harsh, you should be aware of the fact that it's not harsh. What that FCC commissioner tried to do was a crime against our Constitution and a crime against the American people. And as far as I'm concerned, she should be indicted. I don't care. I don't care who she is. I don't care that Representative Clyburn was a father. It doesn't matter to me. If a foreign agent had come into this country and gotten put onto the FCC, that foreign agent couldn't have done worse than what she did in trying to put police into the newsrooms called FCC monitors. the questions would shock you that they wanted to impose upon those in the newsrooms and those in the radio rooms. Why would she want to do this? It's to control the content. It's to make certain that the Obama governing philosophy is prevalent on radio shows and in the few outlets that are currently independent-minded. That means every internet site would have to answer to these communists, these evil communists. Now, if Yanukovych of the Ukraine, who just fled to Russia for fear of the wrath of the masses, were ever to have tried to put policemen into the newsrooms, do you think you'd hear about it? Well, sure you'd hear about it. Soros would make certain that you hear about what questions he would have asked the newsrooms and the radio broadcasters that they were asking and, you know, such like that to make it, in other words, not critical of him. But you mean because it happens in America and it's because of a person of color you can't ask the question? You mean he's above the law? He's a sacred cow? Is that the issue now? He's a sacred cow. No, he's a Trojan horse, not a sacred cow. You want to use an animal analogy? Use Trojan horse, not sacred cow. To me, Obama's a Trojan horse, not a sacred cow. Does that work for you? But then again, it's only Monday. There was another story I haven't been able to get to yet. This one really got, I couldn't believe it. I was watching TV on Saturday, and I saw CNN run a story that hit a new low. It was about an illegal alien from Guatemala who stabbed his wife to death, a common wife, whatever it means, who knows. Woman, there's no wife anymore. Okay, it's a family show. But anyway, he stabs his wife to death, and now they're going to sue the New York Police Department because they didn't translate her request into English for review, her domestic abuse report. So instead of blaming the illegal alien husband who didn't belong here to begin with, and the woman who got stabbed to death who didn't belong here to begin with, they're blaming the NYPD because they didn't translate her domestic abuse complaint into Spanish. You hear? A group that has a lawsuit pending against NYPD on behalf of six other Latina women, says the case of Deezy Garcia and her young daughters is far from unique in New York. Oh, they got six other Latina women who don't belong here to begin with. They're all illegal aliens. But how they learn to sue if they're not citizens? How is that possible? How can a non-citizen sue a police department for the fact that their husband beat them up? How? I'll tell you how. We'll play a little tape for you, then you'll figure out how. Do we have the tape of the lawyer, the rotten, stinking lawyer for these women? Yeah, let's play the lawyer for one of these women. Let's hear it right now.
Say that this is not the first time something like this has happened. 2 months before Garcia was killed, the Violence Intervention Program filed a lawsuit against the city of New York on behalf of six other Hispanic domestic violence victims who claim they too were denied adequate translation services. Now that case is still pending, but in Daisy Garcia's case, the NYPD
said that. This is beyond the worst imaginable crime against our sensibilities as a society. Instead of saying that the husband who didn't belong here, and he's only here because Obama let him in under the false asylum or looking the other way, they're blaming the NYPD because he stabbed his wife to death? So the lawyer, if I was in charge, I would disbar the lawyer and deport him for bringing a case like this. I'd throw him out of the country. Oh, you ought to be glad I'm only a talk show host and I have no power. Could I clean this country up? I would do it by executive order. I'd say, okay, come before me, Miss. Let's see, domestic violence unit. What are you? Who are you? You're suing on behalf of an illegal alien who stabbed his wife to death, and you're telling me the NYPD should have stopped him? What would have happened? What would have happened? I'm going to ask you this question, Mr. Lawyer. If they had intervened prior to him stabbing her, would you have sued the NYPD for intervening, calling it racism? That they had no right to stop him before he killed his wife? You learned good, didn't you? Who taught you this? What professor at NYU taught you this trick, Mr. Lawyer? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm deporting you today and all your assets and your whole family. Next case, bam, there goes the hammer. Now bring the next one before me. Now bring the next one before me. It's executive order. I'm a pen, I'm a piece of paper. Now get the hell out of my courtroom. Now put a bleeper on the word hell. Can't say that on the radio. Get the heck out of my courtroom, you piece of garbage, you. Send them out of here. Put them on a deportation bus. That would be case number one on the docket on Monday. So But thank God I'm only a talk show host, because I have no power, as you understand. We have officials who have the interests of America at heart in positions of power, and you got to understand they're looking out for you. They're looking out for you from top to bottom, from the military to the courtroom to the schoolroom to the hospital. They're looking out for you. They're looking out for you. Okay, you want to talk? I've talked enough. Look at the headline, Brazil and Europe plan an undersea cable to skirt U.S. spying. That's how much they love Obama, the great savior. See, you were told that when a man of color became president, we'd have a better world, a more transparent world, a more honorable world, a safer world, a more peaceful world. Isn't it a shock that you don't? Isn't it a shock that Brazil itself wants to skirt U.S. spying? So they're going to build a new undersea cable that the vermin in our NSA can't snoop into? Can you imagine you're living in an America where every time you make a phone call now, I don't know a person, by the way, who doesn't assume the government's not listening to them. Everyone I talk to says, well, I can't say this. In America, under this wonderful, wonderful, good liberal constitutional lawyer, Obama, everyone's afraid to say what they want to say on a telephone now. Think about it. Think about how far we've fallen. If we lived in the same country, he would have been impeached for this alone. This alone! End the story! Have an impeachment hearing. You say, well, it couldn't happen. What do you mean it can't happen? Why can't it happen? Just for the NSA spying scandal. Say, well, there's not enough time. Oh, there's not enough time? 1,000 days is a very long time. And we get to the bottom of what else he's doing, and it would put his entire agenda on ice. It would stop the left wing in its tracks. But we don't have an opposition party. Fill out the form. Don't leave any money on the table. Fill out those forms. Don't leave any money on the table, said Michelle Obama when she was telling the students to sign up for more freebies. Fill out those forms. Don't leave any money on the table, like it's her money. Her money. Her money. Her money she didn't want to leave on the table. Wow. What fun it would be to have a tribunal called an impeachment hearing where people would be forced to testify about who they spied on, why they spied on innocent Americans, what they did with the data, who authorized it, when was it authorized, how high did it go? Wow, would that be nice to see such a people's tribunal somewhere in Congress. But that ain't happening in your lifetime. This is worse than the Ukraine right now, what we have here. The corruption is worse than in the Ukraine. The corruption, the oppression is worse than it was in the Ukraine. But you don't know that. Because you see, you have the freedom that you've always wanted. You have the freedom to watch one salacious television program over another salacious television program. Look how free you are. You can tune into 20 channels of pornography right now, any moment. Isn't that freedom? Or you can go to a department store and you could choose a blue shirt or a green shirt or a red shirt. You can be gay, you can be straight. Isn't that freedom? You can smoke marijuana, or you can get drugs from a doctor that are far more dangerous than marijuana in a minute just by making up an illness. Isn't that freedom? Look at the freedom you have. Look at the cars you can choose. You can choose a green car, red car, white car, black car, big car, small car, your car, his car, my car. You can buy it for a small fee. Isn't that freedom? Look at the vacations you can have. Why, you can go to one hotel or another hotel. You can get drunk or not get drunk. You can slide down a slide. You can go on a cruise ship and watch another 1,000 numbskulls like you walking around with their eyes glazed over like cattle, not knowing what to do for the next second. Is that not freedom? Is that what your ancestors fought for? So you can go on a cruise with your children and eat like a pig and drink like a moron at night in the bar? Is that not freedom? Look at the freedom you have. You can raise your children any way you want. You can give them Adderall or Ritalin. You can give them Adderall or Ritalin, and the pediatricians will now help you prescribe speed for your child. Isn't that a wonderful freedom that you now have in America? So why would you want to worry about a thing like putting police in a newsroom or spying on innocent Americans, right, or cutting the military? What does it mean to you if you have all those freedoms? I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
The question today is about the stalking horses of the ever-powerful centralized government that we are living under. We all feel that the stalking horse of this, the stalking horse of that, is coming from the stable run by Obama, the centralized, powerful, overbearing, corrupt, if you want to call it that. Some would consider it a wonderful government. Others would say enough is enough. And that's what we're talking about, cutting the military. Hagel wants to cut the military. Obama wants to put police in the newsrooms. There are many other stories that I haven't gotten to yet. A writer at Harvard, a once great university that's descended from an institution of higher learning to an institution of lower living, has become a cesspool. Harvard has become a cesspool on almost every level. A writer at Harvard, a senior at Harvard, and a columnist for the Harvard Crimson, wrote that free speech threatens liberalism and must be destroyed. I'm not making it up. It came out in the Daily Caller. And she said that free speech at Harvard should be abolished, and any professor with dissenting views should be fired, because radical leftism is the only permissible political philosophy, and the First Amendment to her is a barrier preventing modern colleges from fulfilling their proper role as indoctrination camps. Her name is Sandra Korn, K-O-R-N, senior at Harvard. I wonder how she got in. Columnist for the Harvard Crimson. She unambiguously insisted in a recent column that the university should stop guaranteeing professors and students the right to hold controversial views and pursue research that challenges liberalism. Listen to what this psychotic bag of garbage wrote. If our university community opposes racism, sexism, and heterosexism, why should we put up with research that counters our goals, asked Ms. Korn in her column. She opposes heterosexism? Well, what's heterosexism? I never heard of it. Is that a new one? They invented in a dungeon somewhere? After the sex act was over, they came up with a new one called heterosexism? A new phrase. In the after party. While smoking crack. They came up with a new one now. I've heard of racism. That's what's practiced by the Obama administration. But I haven't heard of heterosexism. What is that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSMO.
Let's see, what else can we do on the Savage Nation today? You had enough yet? You have a nice night, nice meal, a couple of drinks? You have to. Living well is the best revenge. Putting this out of your mind is an essential tool to survive the oppressive nature of this regime. You must turn it off. Now, I understand that you understand the danger we're in. It's getting worse every day. The guy's relentless. One thing you have to remember is that they're relentless in their pursuit of their doxies. Now, here's a new story for you to worry about. U.S. officials want answers after Iraq strikes arms deal with Iran. You hear this? The so-called U.S. State Department is raising serious concerns following a news report that Iraq has struck a $200 million arms and ammunition deal with Iran. Now, who told you when Bush went on his insane war against Iraq, against Saddam? Who was the only one in the media warning you that he was making the greatest military blunder in history? Me. If I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? I wrote about it in one of my books. I said that this could turn out to be one of the greatest military blunders in history. And the big winner here will be Iran, which will be a resurgent Persia. Because remember, there was no Iraq. Iraq was a creation. Iraq was part of Iran historically. So who is the big winner? Certainly not you. Now, all the men came home in body bags or in boxes. They're underground, arms, legs, eyes. The men court-martialed who are still in jail to liberate those wonderful Shia in Iraq. What must they be feeling? We liberated 24 million Shiites under the oppressive thumb of Saddam Hussein, the Sunni leader. Miserable, horrendous SOB of the worst order, but he kept them in line. Kept them in line. So the answer was what Bush 1 did. You weaken him, but you don't kill him and his sons. You weaken the Revolutionary Guard, but you don't kill them. You don't drive them out of the country. Well, that's what Bush, too, did. Why? Who was he advised by? The neocons. The academic lunatics, most of whom are no different than the liberals, just on the other side of the box. The academic lunatics who advised Bush, I can name them, what's the point? They're still around. They're the type of professor you had when you were young that used to put you to sleep. You'd just snore right through the lecture. And didn't matter whether they were a Trotskyite today and a hawk the next day, it was all the same to them. It was just a matter of, you know, just being there in front of you in the classroom. Consequences for what they advised Bush? No, no consequences. Iran is the big winner because of the neocons who advised Bush. Only mentioning it because, unfortunately, I was right. I'm sorry I was right. I apologize for being right. I wish I was wrong. I wish I had been wrong in the Shia that we liberated at great expense of our young men. I wish to God that they had become what we thought that they were. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. It's written in Joshua. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. It's written in Joshua. That's not a rock group. Joshua is not a rock group. He's a biblical prophet. Now, speaking of rock groups, a group I never heard of performed the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, at NASCAR this weekend, and they wrecked the Star Spangled Banner. I want you to listen to clip 16. We'll play a little bit of it. Some unknown rock group, a bunch of drug bums. A bunch of drug bums. I'm sick of it. They ought to get some Patriots. Shut up. Punk. Get out of here. Get off the stage. You're all so tough. Get out of here, you filthy drug addict. Get out of there. Why don't you just have a woman sing the Star Spangled Banner the way it's supposed to be sung? Get off the stage, you filthy bum, you. That's the best we could do at a NASCAR event? Get a drug-addicted moron like that, in my opinion. Put him up there. Oh, they're all tough with the leather jackets. No, they're all tough. They're all Hell's Angels with pool sticks. They're all acting the same act. The same act over and over again. Over and over again. The same act from Hollywood, from the rockers. The same act over and over again. With the long hair and the leather and the rings and the nose. They're all tough guys, every one of them. Real tough guys. The real tough guys are laying in the cemeteries. They're the real tough guys. In the military cemeteries, they're the real tough guys. And the ones who fought for us and fight for us, they're the tough guys, not these rats, these drug addicts. Okay, bring them before the tribunal. It's my courtroom again. All right, what's your name? What's the name of your rock group? What'd you do? You took the Star Spangled Banner and you sang it like it was a tune that you want to interpret because you're better than the nation and the nation's song? All right, here's your punishment. Oh, it's a family show. I'm sorry, I can't give you the punishment. All right, next case on the docket. He's out of here. But that's it. Thank God I'm only a talk show host and a fantasist at that. Lucky I only fantasize, because look, what you need is the intelligent people that you have in your government. They're the ones who are in charge. They know what they're doing. I mean, Hegel knows what he's doing in cutting the military. He has the best of intentions for you. Hegel knows. John Kerry's a great American. He's a great American. He should have a radio show. John Kerry, since he's a great American, he automatically qualifies for a radio show. Look at the wonderful women we have in charge. Weren't we told in the year of the woman in 1994 that it would be a kinder, gentler Congress when women seize power? Just look at what Dianne Feinstein has brought us and Barbara Boxer. Look at what Hillary Clinton has brought us. Look at the wisdom and the kindness that Michelle Obama has brought, the demure attitudes that she has, the quiet class that she projects. Isn't that what we wanted from women? Well, we got it. So you should rest at ease and, you know, drink your wine and enjoy your family and do not see the kid in its mother's milk. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the God has given you. Read the Ten Commandments and laugh at things. You know, I think that Obama should put out an official government dartboard of the Ten Commandments. And what it is thou shalt not kill. You throw darts at it. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass. And you could just make a dartboard out of it. given out by the government for our first graders so they can mock religion. Because remember what the father of our government said. The father of our government, the philosopher behind our government, wrote, religion is the opiate of the masses. I don't have to read his name to you. That's what's actually believed behind the curtain. You know they laugh at God and they laugh at the Ten Commandments. When was the last time you went to church with the... At least Clinton put on a pretense with the big Bible. He had a big Bible created in Hollywood, remember? At least you got something out of him. A big Bible with an extra large cross. He was so cynical, but he put on a good act. He would go on Sunday. He still had to put on the act. That's okay. These guys, they don't even pretend these atheists. So the godfather of this administration, the philosophical godfather, wrote, religion is the opiate of the masses. So I think it's appropriate for Arnie Duncan of the Education Department, since he's such a sterling believer in family values, I think Arnie Duncan should put out an official government puzzle for children entering the first grade, which is a dartboard of the Ten Commandments. And whichever child can get 5 out of 10 hit with a dart, get some automatic Obama button or something like that. I don't know what they give them, some kind of surprise. You know, like an official Obama button that they could wear as being a good child of the revolution. What else is in the news that can agitate you and make your night sick? Make you sick. Did you get your medication? Did your medication arrive from the government? How's my medication? How many people could be so sick in a country? How did a nation become a nation of such cripples that all they care about is health care? Cripples everywhere you turn.
My medication. My health care.
Well, what kind of nation is this? A nation of everybody has... everybody's sick. Everybody's weak, crippled. I hear the wheelchairs clanking. I hear the wheelchair... I see the transfusion trees swinging. Everyone's like an army. Millions of people are ill. Not a healthy person left in America. A healthy person is seen as an enemy of the government. Think about that. A very healthy person is an enemy of this government. He's the actual enemy. It really is. It's true. You think about that. All right, what do you want? I haven't taken any call. I took one call on the whole show tonight, and I'm not supposed to talk about it. I so far I've been good, right, guys? I shouldn't. I've been working with a huge physical impediment, and I didn't go to a doctor for it. Out of spite, out of self-control, and just didn't want to go near a doctor for what I've been dealing with today. And you know what? I'm so proud of myself that I didn't need to go to a doctor. One day I will. I mean, the last touch will be the undertaker. But the thing is, I mean, we all go to the doctor. We have to. But right away, whatever you go for, they think they know. It's all an invention. They don't know. And the same thing, oh, let me go. Put him in a machine. Give him a CAT scan. Hit him with x-rays. Hit him with 1,000 rads. What do I care? Give him brain cancer. We'll find out what's in his tooth. Just hit him with 1,000 rads. What do I... Doctor, what's the long-term effect of a CAT scan? Who knows? Who cares? We don't know. It's good for billing practices. And we get a nice image of his head. But what about the long-term effects, doctor, about the multiple x-rays? But they don't care about that. We'll treat that as well. We'll treat him for cancer of the brain. We have a treatment for that as well. It doesn't work, but it's a good treatment. And it's good billing. Does it cure? No, never cures, but it works. It works very well for our billing system. It's an approved drug, an approved treatment, and a treatment. Approved treatment. That's crazy. Oh, you saw Piers Morgan got fired. The Limey's going home. They got rid of Limey. You know why they fired the Limey? Did you find out what actually was behind it? Not only was it snide, I call it what it was. All right, let's not go into it. He's gone along with the other one, the actor there is leaving New York now. Another sourpuss, the homophobe. He's leaving. I was moving to L.A. where all of a sudden, they don't throw meatballs at him for free anymore. Now they throw meatballs at him to hit him with them. You know, the actor, Alec, whatever his name, Alec Guinness' son. I'm joking, come on. No, I'm saying, so before they would throw meatballs at him because he was such a guy to get a free meatball. Now they're actually throwing meatballs at him to get him out of New York. So he's such an idiot, he says he's going to move to L.A. where he can live free. You hear this? I never heard of anything like this. But they get rid of Piers Morgan. Why? First of all, the Limey accent doesn't sell. It's not 1960 in the Garment Center. In the 1960s, the Harvey Weinsteins of the Garment Center would hire a girl with an English accent. who was skinny, you know what I mean, like a skanky, skinny blonde. And she'd answer with an English accent. All the other guys that sounded like Harvey Weinstein thought he was a high-class guy. He's making ties on 7th Avenue. But he had, you know, the name of, you know, W tie, whatever, you know, saying, oh, he's cool, wow, British, that was hot for a while, the British accent. Then it turned, people don't want the British accent. They actually hate it. They can't stand it. They want an authentic American accent like mine. Are you kidding? No, it's true. My accent, as heavy as it is actually authentic Americana. Circa 1940s. People want to hear this, they want to hear reality. I don't go to a voice coach to sound like me. I love the voice coaches, I love to watch movies, you know that. I love when they try to imitate a New York accent. They get the girls from Iowa, and they try to make them sound like they're from New York. Every one of them gets it wrong. They always overdo it. Or I love when the worst thing they do is the Southern accent. The absolute worst is Hollywood's image of a Southern accent. Unbelievable to watch it. They mangle everything. Everything is what it is. It's all an act. It's fine. I like acting. It's very good. But they confuse themselves with philosophers. They give them a talk show. They don't know what to say. So they lose the talk show. Piers Morgan, the reason he got fired is over the Second Amendment. That's what I was getting at. He was a limey who hated guns. So he took the limey attitude to America, and it just didn't sell. And then he doubled down on all of his limey attitudes. Guns are no good. Guns are no good. Get rid of the Second Amendment. So I went and talked to him, Phil, whatever his name is, Phil Pill Griffin, I call him. Another genius. A moron running NBC now. A putz of the lowest order. They put him in the new... So go ahead, tell them stop with the guns already. You know, stick to new. All right, they put a gun, everything. Guns, no good. Guns, it's just embedded in our culture. Even liberals want guns because they're afraid of the conservatives. Gays want guns because they're afraid of the homophobes. Homophobes want guns because they're afraid of the gays. I mean, everybody wants a gun in America. Gangs want guns because they hate the police. Police want guns because they're afraid of the gang. So America, you know, part of our tradition is guns. It's not a limey attitude. They gave up their country a long time ago. They have no country. Remember, there's no England anymore. Go to England, tell me what you see. A few burkas sailing around the streets of Hyde Park with slits in the eyes. That's what they fought for in World War I and World War II. So slits can run around. Slit eyes. Throwbacks. Costumes that aren't even in the Quran they're wearing. You hear this? Yeah, it's a lost cause. It's like a world that's a lost cause sometimes. But I don't let it get... What now? I got to stop my monologue? I was just warming up. With the impediment, I'm starting to warm up. Okay, I'll take a quick break, and I'll be right back to entertain you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is. Beware the false prophets in the military. All the false prophets today are in the military. There are none left in the church because they were purged. The television evangelists, of television are gone. The criers. Remember the age of the crying? Tammy Bruce, they saw the Lord and they're crying, the money came flowing. They're gone. They're all like, all those shysters are finished. But the only false prophets are left are in government. The church has been neutralized. Now they're only in favor of amnesty. This is the latest dream. Amnesty. That's the Chamber of Commerce wants amnesty. Illegal aliens, can't get enough of them. China doesn't matter. Bring them all in. Bring in the whole third world. Good for the church. Good for the Chamber of Commerce. That's all. Don't think it long term. Don't give any long term thought. Woe to the women that sew cushions upon all elbows and make pads for the head of persons of every stature to hunt souls. What is this from Ezekiel? No, I'm into like the Bible. I'm flipping over. This guy sounded like he was a first-rate drug addict. Ezekiel. This guy was on something. Were there magic mushrooms in the desert? I haven't looked into the ethnobotany of the ancient Israelites. This guy was on something. I mean, the other guys, okay, you can make sense, but Ezekiel looked like a mumbler, like one of those homeless guys that come up to you. I'm Ezekiel, I'm Abraham, Isaac, Moses. You got any smoke? You got any blow? You got any liquid? You got any drink? You got any booze? You got any boo? And faces and the wings of them four, their wings were joined to one to another, and they turned not when they went straight. And for the likeness of their face, they had the face of a man, and they had the four face of a lion on the right side. And I am Ezekiel the prophet. You got any smoke? You got any dope? You got any blow? You got any drink? And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak with thee, because I am Ezekiel. I am Abraham. I am Isaac. I am Moses. You got any blow? You got any drink?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation on this very blue Monday. So Vladimir Putin, I understand, had a very, very bad night after hearing the academic lecturer, Susan Rice, tell him not to protect his assets in the Black Sea. That according to her and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, after partying all night, they came and gave their missive. Because, you know, it's like a university. They blow their whistle and the police arrive. And everything is put back where it belongs. Yanukovych remains at large, and they're saying freedom-minded Ukrainians, still stunned at the greed of their ousted president, are calling for his home to be turned into a hospital, sanitarium, or even a museum of corruption. I would say that after the Obamas leave, it's going to need to be fumigated, and I think the White House should be turned into a museum of greed and power madness, and maybe the White House should be moved after this administration. Because this is something I've never seen in my lifetime. He gets away with anything he wants. Anything. Travel? Sure. No problem. Send a dog on an Osprey helicopter. No one says a word. A dog! Your president sent his dog, Bo, on vacation on an Osprey helicopter. He didn't even fly him on an Air Force jet. He put him on his own helicopter. That's not corruption and greed. But you see, in the Ukraine, they had an opposition movement. They have a free press. Something we lack in America. We lack it completely. Well, anyway, the big issue is Hegel, who, by the way, will go down in history as a quisling. If we survive this regime, and it's touch and go as to whether we can survive another 1,000 days of this regime, if we survive this regime, Hegel will be remembered as a quisling who, after Pancetta first cut the military to the bone, and then when he became too hot to handle, they sent them back to the pasture in Monterey to ruin a university and to grow his grapes. He was the one who started the decimation of the military. Leon Panetta, who had no experience whatsoever with military affairs. He had one job, which was to decimate the military. Now they bring in Hegel the Bagel. No experience whatsoever to be a defense secretary, none whatsoever, with questionable loyalties to people who have studied this, now telling us they want to cut the military to levels below World War II. Now, the only good news is they have to get congressional approval, which is very unlikely, especially in an election year, which is what this is. But you have to ask yourself a big question. If they know they can't get this through Congress, then why would they even propose it? What you don't know about base closures can fill volumes. But here in San Francisco, there was a great army base called the Presidio Base. You say, well, all right, we don't need a base. What have they done with the Presidio? Let's see. George Lucas built a monument to himself on some of the acreage, and he wanted more of the acreage for another monument for his movie memorabilia. Mm-hmm. Now, how much did friends of our senators and congresswomen make on contracts associated with transfer of land from the Presidio Trust to private hands and the construction of hotels and such on the Presidio? You have any ideas? Anyone investigated that? Is there one investigative reporter who's done that? The answer is no. 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 They're busy investigating really important things such as how many people still don't kowtow to the communist regime. I want to go back to the Ukraine story for 1 minute. You're reading even on Fox News about the lavish villa that Yanukovych had in Ukraine. And I don't doubt that it's lavish. It's a $75 million mansion. But all of the details are coming. All of the features of this estate are coming from a group called OpenDemocracy.net, which is funded by George Soros. You don't know that. So now they're telling you what the Lebanese cedar doors cost, the chandeliers cost $100,000 apiece. And it's coming from George Soros. Now, this is laughable because I can guarantee you George Soros has a doghouse that costs $75 million somewhere. He wouldn't even live in a house as cheap as this. This is a plebeian mansion in Beverly Hills. $75 million is not the top of the heap. No, that's not the top of the heap. And George Soros is putting this out about Yankunovich. Mr. George Soros, the man who loves America so much. Now let's go back to the military story. Does it make sense to cut the military, I said to myself. New York Times says Obama to propose shrinking the military to pre-World War II level. I don't think you understand what he's doing, but I do. The Army has about 540,000 troops to date. Obama wants to cut the military in size to its smallest size since before World War II and get rid of a class of Air Force attack jets, the Air Force A-10 attack aircraft. That is a phenomenal airplane. Ask anybody what it's used for. It's used to annihilate ground troops on the other side. There's something more than budget cutting involved. When you reduce the military to this level, at a time when you are antagonizing Russia, China is on the move building its military, Iran is on the move building its nukes, Al-Qaeda is not on the run but running at us, and so I'm going to ask you, the American people, how do you feel about Obama shrinking the military to pre-World War II levels? Is it a good idea? Why is he doing this now? What is your worst fear about this regime and what he really has in mind? You know, the military has become very much like a civil service job, period. Benefits, 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 benefits. Health care, retirement, health, dental plans for the children. It's like a giant post office with a gun. You want to cut costs in the military? Get rid of the top-heavy admirals and generals who do nothing. Just fire them. Fire them. We don't need them. But don't cut back on the troops that we may need. During the Soviet era, there were KGB officers aboard every ship. They were called political officers. And their job, for example, on a submarine, was not to help run the submarine. It was to snoop on the sailors and make sure that they were politically in alignment with the communist philosophy and government. And any sailor who did not go along with the prevailing Marxism or the doctrine of the day was noted by the political officer and basically called off the ship. That's exactly what we have now with affirmative action, what we have now with these so-called investigations of sexual harassment in every element of our military. But they've just gotten started, Tyler. They have 1,000 days left to leave us literally at the mercy of our enemies. What does Obama really want to do? If this regime wants to cut the army to 440,000 troops, which is smaller than it was before World War II, and then get rid of a class of Air Force attack jets called the A-10, the Warhawk, which is used, by the way, to attack troops on the ground. I think you have to understand what I'm saying to you. Why would the women who are running this country, the four horse women of the apocalypse, all of whom are anti-Americans down to their DNA, their DNA is anti-American, anti-military, and that DNA is saying get rid of, don't build any more tanks, get rid of the Air Force A-10 attack aircraft, and get rid of the famed U-2 spy plane, by the way. Why do they want to get rid of the U-2 spy plane? They're basically telling us to eliminate our ability to fight foreign troops on the ground. Now, at the same time, he wants to cut the nukes, which he's done by decapitating the entire nuclear command structure. By the way, who's running our nuclear command structure now? Obama has decimated the entire nuclear command structure. He's taken off the top of the whole heap. Who's running it now? Who's in those silos? Who's in charge of them? We don't know. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
It is the Savage Nation. There are other topics. Now, I want to play clip two of Obama about freedom of assembly and freedom of the press. You got to hear clip two.
I don't think there's a competition between the United States and Russia. I think this is an expression of the hopes and aspirations of people inside of Syria and people inside of the Ukraine, who recognize that basic freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, fair and free elections, the ability to run a business without paying a bribe, not be discriminated against because of your religion.
Let's stop right here. This rubbish has got to stop. The freedom of speech that he's talking about existed before he became president. He has curtailed freedom of speech. The freedom of free elections is long over in this country. We don't even know who's counting our votes. The ability to run a business without paying a bribe, Teddy, how many different fees do you have to pay to government officials to even open a business in this country, to keep a business going in this country? How many inspectors do you have to pay in the United States of America to keep a business going, whether it be the EPA or the other gangsters in the administration? I know that in the past, when America's had such endemic corruption, reformers have come along only after the public had had enough and an honest man was elected, like LaGuardia, who was a Republican after 100 years of rule of the Tammany Hall corruption, exactly the same as de Blasio right now in New York. He is a spitting image of the era of that era, that horrendous dark era in New York politics, when it was ruled by this Tammany Hall gang for over 100 years, where jobs, contracts, patronage, all were given out through Tammany Hall, which was the party headquarters of the Democrats. And people had had enough of the stink. They elected LaGuardia. Where is our LaGuardia? Who is our LaGuardia? Who is going to save America from the stench from the bench that's making me clench? You'd say the courts? The courts are going to save you? Who, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as clean as the driven snow? I had a phrase for that court a while ago. The stench from the bench is making me clench, circa 1995. The social corruption, though, is worse than the fiscal corruption. But he himself is not personally benefiting, only his cronies. The social corruption, though, is worse than the fiscal corruption. Last night, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, went on a comedian show that everyone was fainting over this week. Oh, they were falling all over themselves over this comedian. So there she shows up, and she does a skit with two cross-dressers as though it's wholesome entertainment for the family. So this is what I talk about on the show today. Why would NBC throw Jay Leno off the air when his ratings were so high? Because the midterm elections are coming in November, and the communists, socialists, need a young communist, left-wing slime bag like Jimmy Fallon to push Democrat candidates on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Lorne Michaels is the individual that they brought here. He's a liberal French-Canadian who hates this nation. He will do whatever he can do to turn this into a mirror image of the country that he left behind. Seth Meyers, Jimmy Fallon, Saturday Night Live, Will Ferrell, the others, constantly trying to doom America to 100 years of darkness. Now, Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, and this guy, Lorne Michaels, are funded mouthpieces for the George Soros quintet. You understand that? I also want to bring up, where have all the paintings gone? I have to talk about it. It's a local story, but it's a story that's going to become a national story. In San Francisco, over 700 pieces of art have disappeared. The San Francisco Arts Commission claims that they're on loan to government officials. And yet the government officials who have lent the paintings are saying they don't know where they are. They're doing a, quote, inventory of the paintings. The inventory has been going on for a very long time. They don't know where the paintings are? Well, we saw one of them in Dianne Feinstein's office. It was proudly displayed. These paintings are part of the public trust. Why is Feinstein sitting on a masterpiece when it's supposed to be in a museum or for the public to share? But that's only one example. Where are the others? This is something that was done during the Soviet years when the Politburo, the equivalent of our Congress, basically lived like pashas, like kings, like dukes, and the rest of the people fought over a thin salami in a butcher shop. And so there we are. This is looting, isn't it? Is this looting, or is this just art that has been lent and soon it will come up? What's interesting is that the story was originally published in a left-wing rag, the SF Weekly. They finally had enough of the corruption and arrogance on display with the left-wingers that they put in power. And many of the left-wingers, since they have no right-wingers to attack, since there are none left in politics, are now attacking the corruption in their own backyard, which is long overdue. Now, the San Francisco Arts Commission has individuals who are on it. None of them would come on this show.
We spoke to commission spokeswoman Kate Patterson Murphy, and we have her letter. We invited her on the show to discuss this, to see what her side of the story was, and she said that they're all traveling and unavailable to be on the radio show, but they're really glad we're interested in art. None of them have been accused of wrongdoing, nor am I implying that any of these sterling individuals of the Young Museum Board have committed a crime. But we're asking them, where have all the good paintings gone? And if they don't know where they've gone, they better find out real fast, because this is becoming a gigantic national story. You can't accuse the Democrat machine in San Francisco of being like the Nazis, can you? Now, of course, Hermann Göring looted the art, but they would argue that he took it for his own personal viewing. Now, they didn't loot the art. The art that's missing is hanging in public offices, such as in Dianne Feinstein's office. We know for sure one piece hangs for her personal viewing pleasure. But where are the other 700 or so pieces of art? Whose offices are they hanging in? This is a public treasure. It's exactly what a fascist regime would do, which is tell the people to drop dead and we'll do what we want with the art. This is what happens when you have a one-party system in San Francisco, a one-party system in Sacramento, and no newspapers left. And this is what happens when you have total and absolute corruption. And remember the saying, Lord Acton, power corrupts absolutely. The Democrat regime in San Francisco is the most corrupt in the city. It is the most corrupt in the history of the United States since, let us say, 150 years ago when Tammany Hall ruled New York City. There is no oversight whatsoever. This is a case for the FBI, not for me. I'm only a talk show host who happens to live in San Francisco and appreciates fine art. I want to know who has that art. 855-400-7282. I know there are degrees of corruption. I understand that the degree of corruption here is on a far lighter scale than it is in the Ukraine. I get it. But we're on the road to perdition. Nobody is talking about the corruption of our judicial system. Nobody is talking about the corruption of our voting in the state of California, where illegal aliens who have no right to vote whatsoever have put this corrupt, rotten machine in power and keep this rotten, corrupt machine in power. And they're rewarding them by putting them on the equivalent of Obamacare here so that the rest of us have to foot the bill for non-citizens for their medical care. What kind of system allows that if that's not rotten and corrupt? It's the Savage Nation. I'm trying my best to maintain some global control of all of these topics all at once.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
855-400-7282. There are other stories. So let's start in California. California sheriff says his $276,000 pension is not enough, and he is now suing Ventura County, saying that his $276,000 a year pension should be $75,000 more, claiming it's allowed under the law. California sheriff makes $276,000 as a pension. He's so greedy, he's so corrupt, he wants another $75,000 a year. He's suing the county for more money. In New York, Queens Library, Board of Trustees, has a director, a CEO of the Queens Library, who has a $392,000 a year contract. He had a secret $2 million golden parachute hidden inside the contract that nobody knew about. His name? You want to hear his name? How did he become this guy? How did he become the head of the library system? His name is Galante. Mr. Galante, a great, great man working the library system so your children can have better books and better reading. And let's say the average clerk and custodian in the library system gets $39,000 top pay. Senior librarians get $55,000. But this wonderful humanitarian, this man committed to the betterment of humanity, Thomas Galante, has a $2 million golden parachute that somebody put into his contract. Now, in San Francisco, we have over 700 missing fine arts paintings from the DeYoung Museum, and there is no investigation underway. The paintings have been loaned to so-called public officials. Where is the FBI? Who will watch the watchers, the Romans ask? The Romans asked thousands of years ago, who will watch the watchers? The answer then is the same as the answer now. There's no one to watch them. They're watching us to make sure they can keep hurting us. Why am I telling you these stories? Because the corruption is raging from the White House to City Hall. In terms of the White House, it's social corruption, not fiscal corruption. You could say it's fiscal corruption under Obama, but he himself is not personally benefiting, only his cronies.
And I have an obligation to show you that the corruption is endemic on both sides of the political aisle. The Republicans are just as bad, but you don't know it. Not all Republicans, but the mainstream big Republicans are as corrupt as are the Democrats. I am sick and tired of being told that these other guys are clean as the driven snow and only the Democrats are corrupt. I'm sick of it. The system is rotten. It has cancer. The system has cancer. And I don't know what to do about it. I wish I did. I wish I had an answer for you. The real death to America occurred in the 60s, as you well know. The drug, sex, and rock and roll of the ethos of the day have given us what we have today. We are now the end of the arc of the 60s. It really started with the beatniks in the 50s. This whole counterculture thing of putting down the suburbs, putting down Mr. and Mrs. America, mocking Christianity, mocking the family, mocking God, mocking the establishment, in other words. But now that they're running things, they're worse than any establishment that preceded them. Have you noticed how corrupt they are? That's the whole thing to remember. But there's nothing new under the sun. We all know what communist regimes do once they have absolute power. Anyone who's lived through them know how corrupt they are. Out of one side of the mouth, they talk about salvation and saving you and for the little guy. On the other hand, they're living like the pigs that they always have been. So if you look at, for example, what Chavez's legacy has been in that South American nation that he destroyed. I mean, the country before him was a fairly prosperous nation. And he destroyed it, that pig. That pig destroyed that nation. And every other day, all he talked about was inequality and the poor. But he was one of the most power-thirsty pigs of our century. Now, the story comes out, Hugo Chavez's daughters refused to leave Presidential Party Palace. The late dictator's children won't move out of the president's official residence, which is filled with antiques and priceless art. While it's hard times in Venezuela these days, the economy is in shambles, crime is spiraling, the opposition has taken to the streets, protests, President Maduro, the follower in the footsteps of that corrupt SOB, cannot even deal with the crisis from the comforts of the presidential palace because it's being squatted in by the two daughters of Hugo Chavez, the socialist pig, who have turned it into a social club for friends of the family. And basically they've degenerated the palace that the father lived in. So the Chavez family of socialist pigs won't leave the presidential palace because, as you well know, socialists say one thing and do another. So who do you turn to? Is it any different here than it was in Venezuela? It isn't. It's just so far in a minor key. We had a greater nation than Venezuela had before Chavez took over. But it's the same exact downslide as what Chavez did to Venezuela. It's identical on a minor key, what Obama's doing to this country. The play out is going to be a little different. And only God can save us. 1,000 days are left of this regime. And if the man is not stopped through an act of God, through slipping up by an overreach, that's the only thing I can think of, is the power drunkenness is so great inside the Obama corridors of power that they're liable to slip up to such an extent that even their base leaves them, as already is happening. The fact that we're number 40-something in press freedom has got the intellectuals of the left, if you want to call them that, talking about the fact that our press freedoms have fallen so far, and they are starting to actually be able to say it's Obama who did it, but they won't go so far as to say, wait a minute, but I put him in power. They want to say, wait a minute, but we put him in power. You did it to yourself. You created this Frankenstein. You created the NSA spying, and it's just beginning, my friends. You did it to yourselves. So don't blame us on the right. Now, the Ukraine is a big story. So now if you want to ask me what's going on in the Ukraine, I will tell you that what happened in Georgia is probably a good example about what's going to happen in the Ukraine. There's no way in hell, pardon me, that Putin is going to let go of a warm seaport. It's not happening. And he's not going to give in to a bunch of protesters who were put in power with the European Union and the United States backing them because they want the same thing to happen there that happened in Egypt, in Libya, and in Syria. They're destabilizing the entire world. That's my opinion. I don't think he's going to let it happen. And he's got all the power there. Putin has all the power there, not Obama. That's what I think. They've always wanted to turn the Ukraine over to the EU because it weakens Russia. It's a way of weakening Russia. It's the old Cold War. It's a Cold War play going on here, Vladimir, between the United States and Russia all over again, and the Ukraine is in the crosshairs. So what can I say about it?
if Hillary Clinton becomes president, it's anyone's guess as to what she does with regard to Russia. But, you know, it's not a matter of what America does with regard to Russia. It's a matter of what Russia does with regard to the United States right now, because the military has been so weakened and so deballed on so many levels. Look, Obama said way back when, and he was caught on an open mic with the president of Russia. He said, when I become president, I will basically take down our nuclear arsenal. Remember, he was caught on an open mic saying that? Well, not only has he decimated our nuclear arsenal, he has decapitated the entire command structure of the nuclear arsenal. So if you were Putin, what would you think? You know, I got a lot of people who say to me, no matter how bad things are, Michael, when we hear your voice and we hear you describing even how bad it is, we feel better. And I don't quite understand the psychology of that. Other than to say this, many of you walk around saying it's hopeless because you see the same things I do, but nobody articulates it in the way that I do. Others articulate it in their own way. Let's be clear. But I articulate it in a way that seems to grip you emotionally rather than intellectually. And when I reach you in that manner, you say, you know what? The world can't be that bad if we all feel the same thing. Something good is going to come along to save us from this disastrous 1,000 days of Obama that are left. I mean, that's what you're saying. You're all praying every day that somebody comes along to stop the man in his demonic attempts to undermine the country. I mean, that's what you're saying. Why mince words anymore? The man is undermining virtually every aspect of America. He said he would do it, and he's doing it. Remember, he said he's a transformational president. He is as corrupt as the worst of them. Not personally pocketing the money, but aggrandizing more power than any president in American history. If that's not corruption, tell me what is. If you're going after the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and other amendments to the Constitution, is that not corruption on a grand scale? It's grand theft auto, for God's sakes. So many of us know this. There's only so much anyone could take of this. I get it. And you want entertainment. You want lightness. You know, you want the lightness of being. I get it. You want me to lead you to a state of lightness. But when I wake up and almost puke seeing the First Lady on a comedian show with her arms around two men cross-dressing for fun, I ask myself, how much lower can this couple go? They have debased the White House. They've debased the presidency. At least that's the way I see it. Now, the drug addicts who watch these night shows probably love it. The illegal immigrants love it. Those who practice Santeria. I mean, what do you want from people like that, that worship the devil? There's a natural constituency of the Democrats today are the devil worshipers. Okay. At least it's one man's opinion. Anyway, I'm just musing. I'm amusing myself by amusing you. I hope I'm amusing you because it's enough already with the breaking my neck over this. Ukraine, my crane, his crane, your crane, my train. How much can a man take? And yet you go to the worthless websites like CNN, 855-400-7282. Let's see what else is in there. Ted Nugent apologized for Obama mongrel comment. That is unbelievable. I knew that was coming. The bow and arrow was the giveaway. The lust to kill animals, the giveaway. I knew that eventually something would go wrong there. You know, some people go over the top. They thought I would years ago. I never did. Never. I've said things I regret, but I've never gone to that level. I mean, the things he said were ridiculous. Public sector slashes part-timers' hours ahead of Obamacare mandates. Oh, leave me alone with Obamacare. How boring can a topic get? My God, every time I hear it, I turn the radio off. Right off. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
There are other topics. I keep reading about the Ukrainian president living in the opulent palace, covered by left and right. And everyone says, oh, that's horrible. And the countryman, the Ukrainian countryman, toured his $75 million home, just was shocked. Of course, in Beverly Hills, a $75 million home amongst liberals is kind of the norm. But nevertheless, what about if we toured Michelle Obama's closets? What if we were allowed into the White House and saw what Obama and Mrs. Obama are doing with regard to the opulence that they enjoy? I mean, I'm reading that Each of the mansion's cedar doors cost $65,000. Three sets of wooden paneling for staircases cost $200,000, and so forth and so on. And then we see that it's a large estate built on a monastery. And then we see that it's got imported marble floors, typical of any Nassau County bourgeois. Gold fixtures, typical of any Nassau County yenta. Exotic wood, typical of any apartment on the Upper East Side. Surrounded by a 35-mile-long, 15-foot-high fence. Well, I don't think it's that excessive, by the way, for president of a gangster nation like this one. I mean, what do you want him to do, live in a cottage somewhere? That's number one. Now, I call him a kleptocrat, but what if we were allowed to visit the White House, and we were allowed to find out that Michelle Obama has over 70 personal assistants, and we were allowed to walk inside Air Force One and Air Force Two, which have been used more for vacations than for official business? And then I'm going to ask myself, when is the American Spring going to happen? I can't ask that question. But every time I hear that 50% of the country hated him in the Ukraine and 50% of the country loved him, and yet the world is saying to Putin, oh, keep your hands off. There should be a totally independent Ukraine. Well, that's never going to happen. He's not letting go of the little peninsula with all of his naval bases. I mean, you naive, moronic university types. Susan Rice, an academic loser like her, the woman of Benghazi fame, a psychopathic liar who should have been in jail for what she did with Benghazi. Instead of going on Meet the Press, she should have said Meet the Bars, the prison bars. Susan Rice has the nerve to lecture Vladimir Putin, ex-head of the KGB, a judo expert, and tell him no military intervention. Now, don't protect your assets. Don't protect your submarines. Don't protect your missiles. Don't protect your missile cruisers. Don't protect your special forces. You listen to me. I'm a smart woman. I'm Susan Rice. I'm Susan Rice. And you should be shaking in your boots, Vladimir, because I'm Susan Rice. And me and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, we're going to tell you, you just don't dare send the military in to protect your assets over there. Obama's wishes to slash the military in size to that levels before World War II. So the question is, why? At a time when China's on the move building aircraft carriers, building spy satellites to defeat us with laser weaponry in space, with Russia getting ready to take what they consider to be part of their sphere of influence back, with Al-Qaeda more empowered than in a long time, he wants to scrap a class of Air Force attack jets, which can knock out enemy tanks. But worse than that, he wants to drop the standing army to 440,000 troops over the next several years. Now, on the face of it, they say, well, we can't afford it. Well, I agree with them. We can't afford admirals who do nothing and generals who do nothing but sit and scheme how to get contracts and retirement income when they retire after steering contracts for projects we don't need. Military contractors, no doubt, are very unhappy with this. Beltway insiders are very unhappy with this. Well, I'm very unhappy with it, and I'm not a military contractor, and I'm not a Beltway insider. A pox upon all their houses. But I'm not impressed with the fact that they're doing this strictly to reduce costs. Do you know that personnel costs reflect 50% of the Pentagon budget? Listen to what I just said to you. Personnel costs reflect 50% of the Pentagon budget. It's become a giant civil service job, like the post office with guns. When you say military, are you supposed to salute everyone who walks around in a uniform? You don't know the difference between the warrior class and the contractor class and those who enlisted just for the uniform and the benefits? You know, you better be aware of the fact that not everybody who wears a uniform is a hero. Some are. But when 50% of the Pentagon budget is for personnel costs that cannot be cut or exempted, you understand that there's a rationale for cutting something somewhere, right? But it's not altruistic, in my opinion. In other words, the motives are not altruistic. It's not just to cut costs. It's to cut the military so that it becomes almost useless. That's what he wants. Never forget who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a fanatic leftist whose deepest dream is to reduce the military so it's no longer a threat to him and his regime, and then replace it with a Praetorian Guard. He wants to create a Praetorian Guard that may be better funded and better weaponized than our military itself. That's what some people fear, and they're not all crazy. I'll leave it at that so that you don't get shocked if I go to the next step. It's only Monday yet.